Good morning. Welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Wee Wee Hours. And yes, there is a hyphen in there. It's not the Wee Wee Hours. It's 2 a.m. It is the Wee Wee Hours, if you know what I mean. I ain't hurt nobody. I ain't hurting no one. That is Maywood Park's, or Maywood's, very own John Prine. Oh, I love this song. I thought this has a nice vibe for an overnight show. That's from his album called Lost Dogs and Mixed Blessings. I'm Elton Jim Toronto, filling in for Nick DiGilio this morning. Be here till 5 o'clock. Phone number is 312-981-7200 if you want to give a call. Texts are always welcome as well. Glad to be back. It's been a while in the old Wee Wee Hours time slot. Producer Dan Sugarman Shagru, how you doing, sir?
Good, Jim. How about yourself?
Good, 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 good. I'm just was just on the airwaves here at WGN on Sunday, thanks to Walk of Famer. I'm surrounded by Walk of Famers everywhere I go. I'm either working with them, filling in for them. Nick DiGilio, obviously, a WGN Walk of Famer. And on Sunday at Tree Time in Lake Barrington, Walk of Famer and Chicago media icon Dean Richards had his usual his annual holiday remote. And Dean invited me over to join him, and I had a great time. I did bring out, for its first time this year, in 2017, the debut of the Festive Pin. Elton Jim Festive Pin. Now, some wrongly, ignorantly, refer to this beautiful annual festive bauble that I wear on my overcoat as a brooch. It is not a brooch. As I've said many times, women wear brooches. Virile men wear festive pins. And you can actually go on my Facebook page, Jim Toronto, and you see the festive pin. It is in all its glory. In fact, they took a lot of photos from the remote. And as is, holiday tradition, both in my home as well as in my public life, I have my Santa coat with the festive pin on it, as well as my Santa hat. Although, if you look at the pictures on my Facebook page, I had some major Santa hat envy. Dean Richards has one of the best-looking Santa hats that I've ever seen. I love a good Santa hat. Major Santa fan, and I had hat envy all day during that show with Dean. But, yes, the Festive Pin has made its debut, so I will be wearing that now officially. In fact, I'm going to be on to this morning, tomorrow morning, and Friday morning. And I think tomorrow morning I'm going to be asking you, is it too early to decorate for Christmas? I understand, you know, Thanksgiving has become a speed bump holiday on our way to Christmas. And I am a traditionalist, and so you would think that I would say, no, we need to fully appreciate and recognize Thanksgiving and then do not put up any Christmas decorations until the day after Thanksgiving, at least. And that was what I always did until last year. I just was in a Christmas spirit, and I couldn't help myself, and I believe it was sometime around now, mid-November, where I just said, I don't care. So by Thanksgiving, our house was already tricked up to the max. And we've got two or three Christmas trees. I've got Santas all over the place. And so I'm debating whether I start this week, perhaps Thursday or Friday, or do I go into like maybe Monday or Tuesday of next week. So it's a little closer to Thanksgiving. But I'm wondering. I actually have this very cool ornament that has a digital countdown on it. And you can start counting down to Christmas on that little ornament beginning in October. And I believe I started, I'm not sure what day, I forgot about, I believe I started in the first week of October. So I started when it was at about 69 days, and I looked, well, not this morning, because now it's another day, obviously. I think we're at 39 days till Christmas. 39 days. You know how fast that's going to go? So I know it's a little early, and people were complaining in October when I had my ornament out. I said, too early? And they're like, yes, too early, too early. It's not even Halloween. But, you know, we live in a fast-paced world now. Even though I'm still clutching to the past in some ways, as you know, if you've listened to me with any regularity, I still have a flip phone, gang. But so I'm still grasping on to the past if I can. But you can't deny it. We are a fast-paced society, so it may go against everything I believe in, but we'll talk about that in depth, I think, in the next couple of days. As I said, I'm very excited to be here for 3 days in a row, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So we get to get a little momentum going and get a little relationship with you folks as well. So Nick, I know, certainly has a very loyal listenership. So I hope you will continue to listen throughout the next couple of days while he is off. And if you are Elton Jim fans, thank you for setting your alarm. Or thank you for having a small bladder and having to get up three times. So each, or maybe you have a screaming baby, or maybe you have just bad insomnia. Whatever the reason, or maybe you're just a third shifter, or maybe you're just a fan of just good old-fashioned fun radio. Whatever the reason is why you are here. I appreciate you taking the ride with us this morning. I wanted to talk about a couple of different topics. One of the things, as I said, we were talking about a fast-paced world. A little later in the show, you know, we have become, we're like almost like pets, like your cat or your dog. We've become, we just get attracted to the shiny object, and that dominates our news cycle. And obviously, all these celebrity and high-profile, high-powered sexual harassment allegations have been dominating the news for the last three weeks or a month. And a lot of stories have been getting forgotten very quickly or not even reported. And being the pop culture fan that I am, there's a few obituaries that have happened that I don't really think got enough, if at all, attention. I mean, think about the Tom Petty death was in many ways overshadowed, even though now in the ensuing weeks, there has been a lot of talk about Tom Petty. But, you know, he died right in the midst of the Las Vegas shooting, literally that day, I believe. Hugh Hefner died a few days before that. Like him or not, you can't deny he was a cultural icon. No one even talked about that. And what I find interesting is, If the Las Vegas shooting hadn't happened and there had been a fuller discussion on Hugh Hefner and his legacy, because it is complex, and as I said, you have to certainly recognize his cultural influence, even if you might not agree with what he did and how he became that icon through Playboy magazine and his philosophy. But considering how close his death was to all of these allegations about sexual harassment, I wouldn't be surprised if in the discussion, Hugh Hefner would have become a major part of that discussion, because many of the people who have been accused of those sexual harassment allegations and the sexual misconduct are all in their 50s and 60s or 70s. So they grew up as part of that Playboy philosophy. So I would imagine that you can make the argument that did Hugh Hefner play a role in that? But you know what? His name hasn't been mentioned in any way, in anything at all. I've been really surprised. It's just kind of like they announced he died, and there was a little talk, and then Vegas happened, and Hugh Hefner just kind of faded away into the ether. And here in Chicago, you know, there are still cultural touchstones of Hugh Hefner in Playboy magazine. It started here, and it was here for many, many years until the early 70s, until he went out to L.A. But it would have been interesting to see if Hugh Hefner's legacy would have somehow gotten tied into these sexual harassment allegations. Don't really want to talk about that. My gosh, that has been a topic that has just dominated the headlines. And it seems like every day a new one comes up. I'm not sure how much more we could say about it. So I think we will just try to take a detour on that, because, my gosh, that has flooded the airwaves. So in the way that only an Elton Jim can, I'm going to take literally a detour, if you will. As I mentioned on the crosstalk with Patty Vasquez, I've recently been doing some driving, both in mountainous areas and the good old flatlands of Illinois. And I have a few stories I'd like to share on that later in the show. With the Thanksgiving holiday approaching, see, I'm not completely bypassing it, even though I may decorate my house for Christmas a little early, but I'm still recognizing Thanksgiving, and it is a week from tomorrow. So we are going to debate what I would call the holiday spice war. Now, over the last several years, and I'm a huge, huge fan of pumpkin spice, and now pumpkin is in everything. It's all over. I like to think that I was way ahead of the curve on the pumpkin spice craze that has taken over the last 5 or 6 years. But as we are, once one craze takes over, another seems to creep in. Have you been noticing all the maple spices and maple flavoring? Maple bacon, maple donuts. Used to be just maple syrup. That was it. And now there's maple being infused in a lot of things. So as we get prepare for Thanksgiving, I'd like to certainly get your reactions and your likes and dislikes in the heated question that we will debate today. No, it is not about sexual harassment. It is not about Roy Moore. It is not about Donald Trump. Today's key issue that we will be debating with hyperbole and energy and opinions is pumpkin versus maple on WGN 720. No switching. Elton Jim filling in for Nick DiGilio this morning. And before we get to news, I wanted to get combobulated, if you will. Is that a word, combobulated? I mean, I know you're discombobulated, but Dan, can you be combobulated?
I am searching now.
Can we be combobulated? Because I'm trying to get combobulated, if that's a word. Because I'm doing the show today from the studio that Nick DiGilio usually does the show, which is not from the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. That's usually where I do the show whenever I fill in. Even though Nick does it up here, I've always asked to do it downstairs. I don't know, there was some kind of a technical thing, so I'm going to be doing the show from up here. And even though I've been in this studio when it was first built, about 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, when they built the new studios here on the 7th floor in the Tribune Tower, and I do a weekly podcast that, if you want to listen, Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted there. So I do the podcast from this studio. So I'm certainly, you know, used to this place, but not on a kind of extended basis. That podcast only an hour or so, and not a lot of. I don't use a lot of the bells and whistles here that I usually do, and I'm used to the studio downstairs, but. The one thing about this is this is a really nice. There's really nice equipment here. I mean, you can't beat the view at the Allstate Showcase Studio, and especially when I went downstairs to do some crosstalk with Patty. The good people at Tree Time decorated the studio for Christmas, which has become a tradition here the last several years, and so it looks great. The tree is there, and the ornamentation, and the little fireplace there. So it's always great to see that. Not too much, Dan. I mean, you guys work up here every day, right?
Yeah.
What about a little? You can't go out to Walgreens and buy a little tinsel? I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, you draw the ire of the TV folks, you know. As you can see, we have the.
I understand
fake
that
Chicago,
but I mean,
can't you
throw a little tinsel, maybe a little tree, a shrub, in a corner somewhere? I'm looking around here. I don't see a turkey. I don't see a gourd. I don't see a pilgrim hat. I don't see a Santa hat. I don't see a jack-o'-lantern. It could be August 17th right now. If you're looking in this place, come on, guys. I might have to bring some of my stuff.
You feel free to decorate in here.
Yeah,
I don't feel like decorating home.
No, yeah, well, yeah, there's a good question. Should I decorate the upstairs studio? There's even a better question. Oh, my gosh. I mean, like I said, it could be August 17th. Happy August 17th. That's what it looks like in here. Wow, where's 'tis the season? I might have to bring some little portable decorations. I have a small little tree. I might just bring it in, put it here on the, and I'll bring it home every day from today and tomorrow and Friday. Come on. Just because you're away from the Showcase Studio doesn't mean that you can't have holiday spirit. So yeah, maybe I'll do that. Maybe that's why I'm discombobulated. I'm not bobulated, because I would be downstairs very bobulated, being surrounded by all the Christmas regalia. But up here, it's just paper, pencils, and a bunch of electrical cords. Merry Christmas. I feel like I'm in Santa's workshop. My God. Anyway, so I'm trying to get combobulated. Do we find that out yet or no?
There is no combobulated.
There is no combobulated. Well, there is now.
Yes.
I have just coined a new word, combobulated. And that's why you tune in. There you go. 10 minutes ago, there was no such word in the lexicon as combobulated. But for those of you who are up and listening to WGN here at 229, you've just learned a new word that may get into the dictionary within 3 or 4 years. We'll find out. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio. No switching. Elton Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio this morning. Be here until 5 a.m. And I will be here tomorrow morning and Friday. So if you need to get your fix or fill of an Elton Jim, this is your week to do that. So tonight, or today, can't say tonight. I know it looks dark out. It feels like it's tonight, but it's really today. I actually have a big sign here in the studio that just says today to remind me to always say today. But we are here tonight. No, we are here today, and we will be here tomorrow and on Friday as well. Before I get into talking, I did a couple of road trips over the last couple of weeks, and they couldn't have been more different in terms of terrain, and they couldn't have been more different in terms of fear factor. And so I will share with you some of my recent travails behind the wheel. But before we talk about that, I was listening, as we all should be, to Patty Vasquez's show as I was preparing for tonight, or today, see, today, and they were talking about National Pickle Day. Now, look, first of all, you know, if you know me, you obviously would know the fact that, and Dan, now you're Dan Shagrew is the producer here today and will be, and Nick's regular guy. Now, it's part of your job to know all these days right? I mean, do you, as a producer, do you check, is there some website where every day of the year is listed and what fake day it is?
There is indeed a website.
Is there? What is it called?
I'm trying to remember it off the top of my head because...
Do you check that or no?
I used to. We don't do it as much as we used to.
Yeah, okay. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Because it's getting a little goofy. I mean, at first, it was, you know, as everything. I love the United States of America, but my gosh, why do we always do everything to the excess? We just gorge ourselves on everything. What was once, you know, a neat little idea all then becomes so saturated that it loses its initial interest and individuality and then just fades away. We do that with everything. We don't do anything in this country with moderation. Our pendulum just swings from zero to 300. It never stops in the middle. It's just either all or nothing. And this day thing, I don't know when this day thing happened, but it's certainly been within the internet era because it's just too easy because everybody has access to information. And so PR firms or advertising agencies can just throw out these days and they pop up on news feeds or they trend and suddenly they're in the zeitgeist. But, you know, as I've always said, you know, even though I'm working in a medium where you're trying to appeal to and reach the most people, if there's any kind of fad or craze, I run from it. I am not a fad or craze guy. It's no fun looking at my pictures from the 1980s when I was in my 20s because I look exactly the same. I didn't have a mohawk. I didn't have a mullet. I didn't wear 3 polo shirts at the same time with the collar up. I didn't look like I came, you know, some flock of seagulls haircut. I just looked like I always do. I'm very loyal. When I find something I like, I stay with it. So I run from fads. A lot of people run toward the fad. I run away from it. So obviously, every day is a day of something. And they're getting ridiculous. But I have to say, I was, you know, so as much as I rebel against this, here I am sucked in. Because I'm listening to Patty, and I hear her and her producer, Mike Heidemann, talk about Mike's a big fan of the pickle. Who isn't, right? But I love pickles. So here I am. Now, thinking about National Pickle Day, even though it was yesterday, the 14th, but I have to say, as I said earlier, I like a nice, taut, turgid pickle, and it must snap. Now, Dan, you were saying that you guys were doing a story recently where there was a story about Pickle Day or something about pickles that they're supposed to bounce?
We were doing odd laws from around the United States and Connecticut.
Yeah, and what was this?
If it does not bounce, it cannot be considered a pickle.
What does that
in
mean?
Connecticut.
If it does bounce, it shouldn't be considered a pickle. Food shouldn't bounce.
Right.
Food should not defy the laws of gravity. Wow. What I mean, I would think if it didn't bounce, that's good.
Right.
How does a pickle bounce?
That is also a very good question.
Is that there's a joke somewhere there. There's
right.
a riddle there somewhere.
Right.
But boy, do I like a good pickle. As I said, I'm more fan of the spear than of the hole. I'm not a big fan of the chip in terms of the small. I like sweet pickles on burgers, but I don't like to just pull them out of the jar. And in my world, you got to have a chilled pickle. I know there's a lot of them on the shelves in your grocery store, the Vlasic. But I like a nice chilled pickle because if you look at the chilled pickle, if you look at that Vlasic pickle, for instance, and I'm not just picking on Vlasic, but it's the most well-known, and it's got that pelican that pretends to be Groucho Marx for some reason. Why they chose a Groucho Marx pelican as their logo, I don't understand. is their mascot, but Vlasic is on the shelves. And if you look at the pickle, it is really green, like the inside, the meaty part of the pickle is green, like really green. It's just sitting in that brine. And I don't know if the chill factor has something to do with it, but when you look at a chilled pickle, where they're in the refrigerated case, it's a lighter green. It's almost like a white. It looks a little more like the cucumber of which it was once was. I just thought about this. What do the pickle and the caterpillar have in common? You know, or the cucumber and the caterpillar. They both blossom. The caterpillar becomes the beautiful butterfly. And the cucumber becomes the brined, garlicky, and crispy pickle. Think of that. Did you ever think that a pickle and a caterpillar had something in common? But yeah, so I mean, you know, so I just like a nice, when you get you go to the refrigerated section, when you pull out a nice Clausen, I like a nice Clausen. You pull it out and it snaps. My pickle has to snap. I like a nice big pickle that snaps. And those Vlasic pickles that are sitting on the shelves, kind of limp. They need some Viagra. They're just kind of lazy. The Clausen pickle, filled with testosterone, stands up to attention. Oh, there are some days when I envy the chilled pickle, believe me. Yeah, but the Clausen just seems a little limp. It's just sitting in that stuff. Who knows how long it's been on the shelf? There is an expiration on the chilled one. You got to eat it fast because it will lose its testosterone, if you will. And so I like a nice crispy pickle. I have found I like the Clausen. And over the last couple of months, in fact, I've always been a Clausen guy. But this intrigued me with this National Pickle Day because I've discovered two new chilled pickles that are worth checking out if you are a pickle person. I would say go with the Clausen. But if you have access to, there's a place in New York called Nathan's, which is famous. In fact, if you watch on 4th of July, they always have the hot dog contest at Nathan's. Right near Coney Island, but there are Nathans throughout the New York area, and they have the famous Nathan's hot dog, and it's got and also the Nathan's hot dog, like the Nathan's pickle, is taut and crisp and snaps. So maybe there's something to that. But in some stores now here in the Midwest, they've got Nathan's pickles. I know for sure they have them at one of the grocery stores called Fresh Time. Because that's where I've been buying them lately. And it's a good pickle, gang. I know Chicago can't like New York. We all have to hate anything about New York. But the fact of the matter is that there's a really good pickle coming out of New York at Nathan's. So if you like pickles, go to your your refrigerated aisle there and look for the Nathan's pickles. They are good. And then I was watching America's Test Kitchen. Locally here on Channel 11, it's on Saturday afternoons. And within America's Test Kitchen, they have this little taste testing thing. And Jack Bishop is the guy that finds all these different, picks a certain food and then has one of the hosts pick which one they like the best. It's all, you know, disguised and hidden. And then they reveal, they first taste them all, a little sample of three or four different. And they had pickles recently. So I was really interested to see what would be the number one pickle in terms of what the audience on the show liked. Maybe it was Cook's Country. They're both the same kind of show, same people, both on Channel 11 on Saturdays. And so they did the chilled pickle too, which really caught my eye. And so I was waiting for Clawson. No Clawson. I was disappointed to see that my Clawson was not in the top three. But I did learn something. Boar's Head. Have you gone to the store recently and seen Boar's Head? In the last several months, maybe the last year, Boar's Head is a lunch meat and kind of a deli, it seems, kind of company. And if you go to a lot of stores now, they will have, in fact, I saw out by the Jewel, they had the big sign that they have Boar's Head lunch meat. So I guess Boar's Head must be really beginning to enter the Chicago market, because I don't remember seeing Boar's Head as prominent as it is now. And once again, I'm not trying to plug Fresh Time, but I do shop there quite a bit. And they had Boar's Head pickles. So I saw this on television that won the chilled Boar's Head pickle. And they said if you like the garlic taste of the dill pickle, then this is the one you want. And I do like the garlic taste. So I bought the Boar's Head, and I have to say that, thumbs up. In fact, they really do. I mean, they're really authentic with this Boar's Head thing. You open up the jar, and there's like carrots and garlic in the brine, still in the jar, even like a piece of thyme just floating there. I'm like, wow. I don't know if it's for fake or for real, but it sure looks legit. And maybe it adds to the pickle ambiance, if you will. But once again, a nice, taut, crisp pickle from Boar's Head and from Nathan's and for Clawson's. So even though it is a day after, it's only a few hours, actually. It's only 3 hours after the official pickle day. So I just wanted to chime in. If you like a good pickle, I say go for the chilled pickle, because it's a lot less limp than the shelf pickle. And my top three, in no particular order, because I have to say I'm enjoying all three of these over the last several months. And I noticed pickles are very low in calories. I think they might be high in sodium. I'm not sure. But on the label, 5 calories for a spear. That's not bad. That's not a bad snack. So Clawson, Nathan's, or Boar's Head, if you're looking for a good pickle. And who isn't? It's about 2:51. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGiulio. Be here till 5 a.m. We'll be back after this. No switching.
Hey, Nick! Nick, isn't that what you got on the breakfast?
You know, that's a little reason for me not to like you. That rumhead spent 20 years in jail for poisoning a kid. If you know him, you must be a jailbird yourself. Would you show these gentlemen to the door?
Sure. This way, gentlemen.
Hey, get me. I'll give them out wings.
If that sounds familiar, of course, that is one of the great scenes from It's a Wonderful Life with Nick, the bartender. Hey, get me. I'm giving out wings. You two rummies are coming out through the door. Sheldon Leonard, the great character actor. If you ever look at the credits from Dick Van Dyke Show and Andy Griffith Show, you'll see Sheldon Leonard's name there. And he was a huge producer and started out as an actor. And that's he played Nick in the movie. And if you remember, you know, Nick's bar in that scene was when Clarence, the angel, shows up and George Bailey is completely, washed away from existence. And Nick's is this rough and tumble kind of, shot in a beer kind of place. But in Pottersville, but in the pre-Clarence part of the movie, Nick's is called Martini's, and it's a nice place. Everybody's happy, and Mr. Martini, of course, bought his house, from George, in the nice park. And if you remember, Mary gives that speech about bread and wine and salt, and welcome the Martini Mansion. But Nick's is the Rough and Tumble Bar, and this is really cool. Fitzgerald's Bar in Berwyn, which is a an iconic place, sadly up for sale. Fitzgerald's has been in Berwyn for decades, and some of the great musical acts, both well-known as well as starting up, have played at the stages of Fitzgerald's, and the owner has decided it's time to for him to retire. So Fitzgerald's is for sale. We'll see how long that lasts, if somebody comes along and buys it. But in the meantime, they're certainly trying to keep the name out there and maybe, you know, create a little buzz for someone to want to buy it. And here's a really cool little promotion that they're doing. It's right on Roosevelt Road, or Roosevelt. Now, people say, is it Roosevelt or Roosevelt? Well, it's a good question. It depends on who it's named after. Now, Dan, can you find out what Roosevelt or Roosevelt Road, who it's named after? Because the Franklin Delano Roosevelt family said Roosevelt. But the Teddy Roosevelt part of the family said Roosevelt. So you often will hear Roosevelt Road or Roosevelt Road or the Roosevelt Expressway or the Roosevelt, and but that was a distinction. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR, said Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt, his side of the family, they were related, but they actually said their names different. So I'm not sure if it's Roosevelt Road or Roosevelt Road. Do we know?
It would be Roosevelt because it's after Theodore.
It's named after Theodore, so it's Roosevelt Road. Okay, now I will know that. Well, they're doing a very cool thing. December 6th, 13th, 20th, and the 27th, they are going to transform Fitzgerald's into Nick's. Now, what I think is interesting, they're going to turn it into Nick's, which is like the rough, mean bar, not the nice, fun place. So they're going for the kind of edgy kind of place. They're going to give out wings. They're going to have, drinks that are named after things from the movie, like Zuzu's Petals and the Flaming Rum Punch. And it's a place where we serve hard drinks for men who want to get drunk fast. And I'm Nick. We'll be back after this. No switching. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio today, tomorrow, and Friday, 2 a.m. to 5. Remember this song from the 90s? Trivia question, who sang this song? Now, I know Rascal Flatts, the country band, did, but who's the original guy here? Tom Cochran. Definitely a one-hit wonder. But that's one of those earworm songs that gets into your head. It's actually a pretty good song. It's not a bad song. I'm going to listen to it for a couple seconds here. I mean, it's got everything a good pop song should have. It's got a catchy little chorus there that's easy to sing along and a nice little beat there. Tom Cochran and his big hit, Life is a Highway. I play that song because I wanted to share a few interesting road trips that I was recently on, because it really showed the difference in like where we live here in the Midwest. And what's cool about being on WGN Radio, when we're on the radio here, we assume that, you know, we're talking to the Chicago area. But the fact of the matter is that WGN Radio is like a 50,000-watt nuclear missile. And this thing, at certain times, especially at this time of the day, when there's not a lot of interference from smaller radio stations across the country, this thing can blast out I think that it's I've seen the map. The coverage area might be like 37 states, which is outrageous. I remember getting calls sometimes in the afternoon from people on their radio dial, 7:20 a.m. in Arizona, saying, "Hey, I'm in Arizona." So, you know, we're here in the winter talking about how cold it is, and the people in Arizona go, "What are you talking about? Even in January, it's 97, humidity 200%. Jeez, have you ever gone to you ever go to Arizona? Whew. Even at 10 at night. Now, everybody's blasting the air conditioning. I can only imagine what it costs to live out there in terms of air conditioning, because you have to have it. It's impossible not to. But I remember going out there quite a few times, and, it's hot during the day. Fine, I get it. So we go to a restaurant, and you figure, and so it's nice and cool in the restaurant, and you step outside at 10:30, 11 o'clock, and you're assuming, like it is here in Chicago area, okay, phew, you know, at least some of this heat's going to be gone. It's going to be a little cool breeze. And, oh, my gosh, the weather comes right up to you and shakes your hand. It gives you a bear hug at 11 o'clock at night. It's still humid as heck. It's nice. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, if you're looking for, you know, for warm weather, that's your place to go. But can't you throw in a cool breeze sometimes? That's not artificial. So I was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I went to a beautiful area. If you've never been to Lake Tahoe in Nevada, it's actually in two states. Lake Tahoe is actually split between California and Nevada in the Sierra Mountains. It's one of those places that a lot of people have heard about that maybe have never gone to. It's a big skiing area, but it's just as beautiful and pretty in the summer and in the fall. And my wife and I went about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And it's just, everywhere you look is a postcard. And I don't know if you even should tell. I mean, it's like the Catch-22. You don't want to tell. You want to share it with people because it's such a great and beautiful, tranquil, calm, peaceful place. Just gorgeous. Everywhere you look, I mean, the mountains and the lake itself, it's one of the clearest, if not the clearest, cleanest lakes in the country, I believe, and one of the deepest. But it's just a beautiful area. And so you want to share it with people, but then you don't, because then it becomes a tourist trap and it loses all of those fun and interesting and unique aspects that you loved about it. But the great thing about it is that it is both easy to get to and difficult to get to. And I say that depending on your driving expertise. Now, I don't know about you, and there's a lot of truck drivers listening right now. Truck drivers out there, I give you a lot of credit because you have to go through so many different types of driving terrains. And you've got to be proficient driving through them all. Now, there's nothing to drive in the Chicago, Illinois area, right? I mean, it's pretty flat. There's a few mountains or hills, but a few twisty, turny little, but nothing like the Rockies or the Sierras or things like that. You can drive 500 miles here, and it's still flat. If Columbus was born in Illinois, there is no doubt he never, ever would have even thought about jumping in a boat and trying to see if the world was round. Because he would look around and say, of course that the world's a flat. Look around. Of course it's a flat. You drive 500 miles in any direction here in Illinois, and it's a straight ride. Flat as can be, whether it's to Wisconsin, to Iowa, downstate, even to Missouri, but certainly through Illinois, Indiana, anywhere you go, flat as can be. And, wait a minute, this is fun. Let's go to the phone there. Oops, that's my music. Hey, we got somebody. Levon, it is? Not Levon? Levon.
Levon.
Oh, Levon from Arizona.
Yep.
So you are listening on your radio at 7:20 a.m., just like you would any station in Arizona, but you're getting a Chicago station. How cool is that?
That is really cool. I used to live in Chicago.
Oh, you did?
It's on all the time.
Oh, very good. How long did you live here?
About 40 years.
And then you got smart. You hated the Chicago winters. And you went to a place where it is 90 degrees at midnight.
Well, in the summertime, but right now it's going to be like in the 80s this week.
Oh,
which is great.
Just the 80s?
Yeah.
It's been like in the 20s at night here the last week.
I know. I love listening to the weather and talking to friends.
I bet you do. So very cool. So do you still listen to WGN even though you're gone? So you get a little taste of home?
I miss it a lot.
Oh, very.
We don't have radio like that out here at all.
No.
Nope.
Mostly just cactus. Cactus
no,
radio.
No, a lot of just news.
Yeah. Now, what part of Arizona do you live in?
I'm in Scottsdale.
Ah, beautiful Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm.
In the summer, I was in Sedona.
Oh, that's really nice. We were there this summer too in
July.
Very
pretty. I was there in June. Very pretty. Never been there before, but definitely will go back. Those red rocks are amazing.
Oh, yeah. Have you been up to Flagstaff?
No.
Because they get snow there in the wintertime. We usually bring, like, the kids up there, and we do, like, the Polar Express. It's in Williams. And there's at least some snow up there.
Well, here's the thing. The reason I was talking, and Arizona and the Sedona area is part of it, too. As I said, I was born and raised here in Chicago, and so that's where I learned to drive. And I, you know, this is wherever I've driven is mostly flat.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went to Sedona and when I went to Lake Tahoe, I mean, there's mountains there. You even to get, you know, from you know, like Phoenix to Sedona, mm-hmm. you got to go up. There's a few little iffy places.
I've got a bunch of mountains out the back of my backyard.
Yeah. And I'm not a good mountain driver. Are you? Now, you were born and raised here. Yeah. How are you driving out there?
Well, there's really not a lot of traffic out here. I'm having the hardest part with the javelina.
Oh,
the coyotes.
Oh, right. Those javelina. Those are like those boars, right?
Yeah. You can't put your pumpkins out. Oh. Every garbage. We're in a gated community. So, like, when you take our garbage out, you have to, you know, they're like walking down the street. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because we were staying in this hotel and we looked out on the balcony and we weren't too far from the ground. And I see these wild boars. They sort of look like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh.
They charge. They're blind. They only go by smell.
Is that what it is?
Yep, because we spent a night at the zoo with our kids, and we learned about all the animals, like in Arizona, because we're, you know, we're not natives out here. We didn't even know what a tree was, you know, the name of them.
Right.
So we did a night at the zoo, and they talked about the boar pigs and the scorpions and, like, you know, we have to put, like, glass container, like, ball jars on the post of all the beds because this way the scorpions don't climb up into
the bed. God. Ew. Well, yeah. I tell you that. Well, you're starting to help the Chicago tourist industry here because we certainly don't have scorpions.
No, but you have a ton of mosquitoes.
Yeah, we do.
We were back there in, like, August, and it was so bad.
Yeah, it's so
by
humid.
4 o'clock, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I always get the phone calls at home.
I do miss Luminati's a lot.
Oh.
They're going to open one here in Scottsdale in 2019 or something. They're going to open one.
And you guys have Portillo's out there too now, don't you?
Yep. That was opened in Scottsdale a couple of years ago.
Well, there are a lot of Chicago transplants. And so certainly a lot of those Chicago touchstones, like, you know, restaurants like Luminati's or Portillo's that are very Chicago, they certainly have a, you know, big audience out there. But are you okay driving? I mean, through the mountains and stuff?
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Really?
Did you see Elton John on Stephen Colbert last night?
Yes, I did. Of course I did.
Pretty good.
Yeah, he's always good. And I saw, well, that's part of my story. But thank you for calling from Arizona.
Yep.
Enjoy it. Levon from Arizona.
Yep.
Well, enjoy your 80-degree night.
Oh, I will.
All right, take care. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, yeah, I know. That's what's so strange about this is, like, you know, we think we're talking to Chicago, but we're talking to Arizona, too. Yeah, I saw what did she call those, javelinas or something? They're these big boars, and they were walking and stalking. It's kind of scary. We looked out our balcony. It wasn't that far down, and they were just kind of, it almost was like a horror movie, because there was a lot of shrubbery right below. And when you looked out into this shrubbery, we just saw the tops of it, and we just saw it moving like the predator or something. You just saw, like, and you heard, and then you saw depressions in the foliage as to where they were walking. And every so often you'd see them peek out when they were walking with their little families there. Yeah, they're kind of cool looking, but I think they're a little mean, and they do scavenge. So that's something that we don't need to worry about here in Chicago. We may have mosquitoes. We may have cold winters, but we don't have scorpions and wild boars. That should be our slogan. Mayor Emanuel, no scorpions and no wild boars. Come to Chicago. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio. Let's take a quick break. No switching. Jim Toronto here at WGN, filling in for Nick DiGilio. After the news, I will get into more of my story about driving. But, yeah, like I said, I also went to Sedona, and there's some mountains there. I mean, I don't know. Is it just me, or do people here in Illinois, are you used to driving in a mountainous area? Dan, how about you? Do you drive a lot?
I do drive here and there. We don't take that many road trips because we've got two.
Have you
kids.
Driven through any of the mountains?
Yeah, I have not. Not here in the U.S. I have family in Puerto Rico. My mom was born in Puerto Rico.
Muy bien.
Thank you. And we live on top of the mountain.
Really?
So when we visited there when I was younger, it was definitely a pretty crazy experience.
And they've
grown up driving that mountain, so they're taking those turns at 45-50 miles an hour. And they can do it no problem without me and I, but for us passengers, it was pretty crazy.
And what's crazy about it, it seems in the areas, because I've driven in the on the Pacific Coast Highway in California, Highway 1, and as I said, you know, to get to Lake Tahoe, you fly into Reno, and they say, oh, it's 12 miles from Reno to Lake Tahoe, 40-minute drive, and you're here. 40-minute drive, maybe for you, who's used to hairpin turns and no guardrails and falling rocks and runoff. Do you ever see the runoffs in these mountains where they actually have created where trucks, they expect trucks to lose their brakes and they run into a big pile of sand? And that's the solution. Let's see. This road is so dangerous, we know trucks are going to lose their brakes. And here we are in the 21st century. We basically walk around with computers in our pockets. And our solution to stop a runaway truck that loses its brakes on the treacherous roads that we've created is to build a runway off the road to crash into a big pile of sand. Welcome to the 21st century. We've been to the moon, but we can't figure out a better way than say, somebody sat around and said, well, you know, if a truck is losing its brakes, I don't know. The best way to probably stop that is to just let it run to a big pile of sand. Wow. I bet you Steve Jobs would have a better idea. I bet you he would. We'll be back after this. No switching. Elton Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio this morning. Be here tomorrow and Friday as well. And just looking at the text, I was talking about the power of the WGN signal a little while ago and saying how, especially at this time of the day, the WGN signal can shoot all across the country. And actually had a phone call from a Chicago transplant living in Arizona and just listening to the radio station on her radio, 720, no special antennas, no ham radios, just 720 a.m. And I just got a text, and you're free to text as well as call 312-981-7200 if you got anything to say. I just got a text. Somebody is listening from England. I say, fantastic, brilliant, cheers. It's fantastic that you're listening. It's brilliant. I love England, sort of an Anglophile. And in fact, I just did a play about a month or so ago, an Agatha Christie play, and I got to do my English accent. Hello, Lombard here. It was kind of a James Mason-ish and Cary Grant kind of accent. But so cheers to our friends over in England, across the pond, listening on the internet machine, if you will. This is amazing when you think about it. It's sometimes you forget the ease of which we communicate just hundreds of thousands of miles. It's crazy. How does this happen? You see those towers, you're driving on highways and stuff, and you don't realize that that's how it's happening. It's crazy, but it's pretty cool. It's not as tumultuous and as confusing of a time that we're living in right now over the last couple of years. On the other side of the coin, technology-wise, wow, it's not a bad time to live. I'll tell you that. And think about this from a health standpoint. People used to die from toothaches. So when you think things are really bad, there's always a bright side. You know, no one's, we're not, our life expectancy isn't 35. We don't die from mosquito bites as much as we used to, or bad toothaches like we used to. So, yes, folks, there is still some good things about the time that we're living in. So I was talking about driving and the mountain driving, and as I said, I was born and raised here, so I don't know about you, if you're comfortable in driving, and maybe you have some experience, but born and raised here, northwest side of Chicago, good old Six Corners area, Belmont and Central, and all I have to say is, in the Belmont and Central area, or the Six Corners area where I was born and raised, not many mountains. You go to Belmont and Central in Chicago, no mountains there. No snowy peaks by the Sears on Cicero and Irving. No peaks with snow on the top. So I have to be excused from not really knowing how to drive in that. When I was younger, I was a lot more adventurous, and I don't know about you. You know, a lot of people, you know, have gone on a lot of driving trips. Dan, you were saying you didn't really drive a lot on vacations,
right?
And neither did we. We flew when we went. So I didn't. My dad wasn't a big driver, so we didn't drive to a lot of places, and so in turn, I didn't drive a lot of places. But then, because of that, I wanted to experience that. So when I was younger and when I first got married, we would go on vacations and I would be, oh, yeah, we'll just rent a car and drive here and drive there. And then I realized, wow, I'm way out of my element. This isn't Belmont and Central anymore. And, I mean, I've driven from, like, Denver to Vail through the Rockies and from Vail to Aspen. Oh, my God. Talk about white knuckles. And once again, I don't understand what it is with these mountain states. Build guardrails. There's 2 feet of shoulder, and then there's just about a 10,000-foot drop. How do you drive on that? And then the best part is you've got two lanes, another car coming straight at you, so you want to cheat toward the shoulder because you're afraid to cheat toward the yellow line because the other car's coming at you. So let's see. Should I die from a head-on collision or should I go over a cliff? Nice choice. So about 13, 14 years ago, my wife and I go to Lake Tahoe for the first time. And this guy that's at the hotel says, oh, as I said, you fly into Reno, real simple, 40-minute ride, and you're here. And you will be enchanted by Lake Tahoe. And he was right about the enchanted part. But you know, Oz was a nice place, too. But it wasn't easy to get to, if you remember. The Tin Man and the Lion and Dorothy and the Scarecrow and little and that dog and your little dog Toto too. They had a tough ride. And if you remember, the Yellow Brick Road was kind of twisty and turny too. Notice they weren't driving. They were smart. They walked it. That's what I should have done. Now I'm thinking about it. Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow and the Lion, they were smart. They didn't jump into some Oz jalopy. They walked it. They were like, wait a minute, this is a twisty turny road. And yeah, Oz is way at the top of that mountain. So I get in the car. So I'm all adventurous. I rent the car. The guy sits a 45-minute drive, no problem. So we land in Reno, get in the car, drive straight, and as I'm driving on this highway, I see this giant protrusion out of the earth. That looks like a mountain to me. And as I'm getting closer, I'm noticing that the road is beginning to incline, which begins to worry me. And I'm saying, you know, there better be a tunnel through that mountain, or I'm in trouble. Well, if you know the area, there was no tunnel. And I'm going up this, I think it's called Mount Rose in Reno, outside of Reno, which is where Lake Tahoe is. And these roads were big enough for two cars. Most of the way there were no guardrails, very little shoulder. I didn't know what this meant. I told you about the crashing of the trucks with no brakes. There were these signs that said runoff, 500 feet. I thought it meant rocks, runoff of rocks, or maybe water. Once again, I didn't realize that they actually built a spot for trucks to crash into. And when I saw what it was for the first time, I never saw one of these runoff things. I'm like, why am I here? Why am I driving this? This Lake Tahoe better be pretty, I'll tell you that much. I pulled over every 2 seconds for cars to pass me by because I'm like, look, I'm driving four miles an hour. So if you don't want to slow down, I'm going to pull over. I would pull over for 5 minutes at a time and let every car go by until finally I'm like, okay, I have to go 3 miles before I pull over again. Should have been maybe a 45-minute drive. Took me about an hour and a half to almost 2 hours. No lie. Complete white-knuckled. I was stressed out. I was sweating. My heart was beating. My hands were shaking. I get to the hotel. The guy says, hey, welcome. I said, welcome? I'm lucky I'm alive. Oh, I'm like, you can't tell people that's a 45-minute ride. Maybe for you it is because you make it every day. But for those of us in the flat plains of Illinois, you can't make that drive in 40 minutes. Hairpin turns everywhere, rocks. Once again, I could get elected the governor of Nevada or Arizona in 5 minutes. I'm just going to say, I'm building guardrails. Instant election. Oh. Jim Toronto here at WGN, 720 AM, filling in for Nick DiGilio today, tomorrow, and Friday. Yeah, so I was talking about mountain driving here recently, well, about 15 years ago, 14 years ago or so. First time went out to Lake Tahoe and really experienced this treacherous drive. That's the only word I could use is treacherous. Finally made it. Then the guy says, oh, well, you've got to drive to Emerald Bay. It's gorgeous. Okay. Once again, you look at the map, and unless you have a 3D map, everything looks flat on that map. So once again, Mr. Adventurer, I make my way toward Emerald Bay from Lake Tahoe, from Incline Village, which is kind of the north part of the lake, and Emerald Bay is at the south end. There was one road, and I'm not exaggerating, and people in this area will know it. There was one road on this one segment of this road on my way to Emerald Bay where there was a hairpin turn. When you look straight ahead, there was nothing but blue sky. You couldn't even see road, and I'm not exaggerating. I was so afraid. I was petrified. I stopped the car and I said to my wife, "Okay, I don't know what we're going to do because I can't turn back. I can't go backwards, but I know I can't go frontwards. I can't." I was so paranoid of putting my foot on the gas that I would go over. There was no guardrail, just sky. It was like Thelma and Louise. So I don't know what kind of gravity was there, but whatever gravity pushed my car, I took my foot off the brake and off the gas and just idled the car around this turn, just petrified as I did it. I had the brake on. If someone was behind me, I didn't care. I finally made it around this turn. I was so stressed out. My hands were like, did you ever see Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? There's that one scene when John Candy goes into the wrong lane. They fall asleep, and they drive into the wrong lane, and there's a truck that's coming head-on into them, and then they just bypass it, and Steve Martin's fingers are embedded in the dashboard because he's so afraid. That's how my hands were on that steering wheel. I had to melt them off. So I pulled the car over again. And I wish I was lying, but I'm not. I pulled the car over again, and I got out of the car, and I had to breathe, which is impossible when you're up in a mountain because the air is so thin. And then I looked to see where I pulled my car over, and there's this giant cliff. So now I'm even more afraid. Even though I'm out of the car, I'm getting wobbly. Oh, so traumatic was that driving experience that I did not go back to Lake Tahoe for 14 years. And I wanted to go back so much because it was so gorgeous, but I was afraid of that ride. So I said, look, if we're going to go back, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to get a cab or hire a car. I cannot make those drives. So that's what we did. And oh my gosh, if you listen to me with any kind of regularity, you know that I have no skills in terms of how to fix things. My motto around the house, if anything breaks, is call the guy. Call the guy. Isn't there a guy that does this? I have to call the guy. And so for my drive to Lake Tahoe from Reno, I called the guy. And oh my gosh, got up to that spot in 40 minutes. I was able to look at the scenery. It was gorgeous. Half the time, you know, guys, if you're driving with your wives and they say it's a scenic drive, yeah, it's a scenic drive for the passenger. The driver can't look. My wife's like, oh, we're on the Pacific Highway in California. You're right on the rocks there. Oh, look how pretty. I can't take a picture. Take a picture. I'll look at the picture. I can't look. All I'm looking at is that car in front of me with that license plate and that white line. I'm not looking right or left. So that's not scenic for me. It might be scenic for the passengers. Ain't scenic for the driver. One time we were going on the Pacific Coast Highway to San Simeon, Hearst Castle. We were in San Francisco. I drove 45 minutes inland to hit an interstate so I wouldn't have to drive on the Pacific Coast Highway. And, of course, that kept me safe for a while, but then that road angled back into the Pacific Coast Highway. Thankfully, that was a little inland. It wasn't right on the rocks because, once again, if you see it, it's gorgeous. You see those commercials for cars? They're always driving on the Pacific Coast Highway. It looks great. Looks fantastic. Those are stunt drivers. Those aren't real people. And once again, if you look, no guardrails. Why are these places so anti-guardrail? One time drove from Denver to Vail. in the Rocky Mountains. It starts hailing and raining. I pulled over the car. I said to my wife, look, this might be our hotel room for the next 3 days because I'm not moving this car until it stops hailing and raining. Thankfully, after an hour, it passed and we were able to. But I was like, I'm done. Oh, and then here's the best part. So now we go to another area. Remember this Emerald Bay I'm telling you about? Well, this time we were going to go on a boat ride to actually see the Emerald Bay from inside. So I get a cab. I call a cab to take us there. It's about, you know, 20-minute drive. I figure, you know, the drive up was great. This will be great. I'm not driving up here. Our cab driver, Laura, the cab driver, we're driving down these twisty roads, no guardrails on the side. She's one of those chatty cab drivers. She's talking to us. She's turning her head to the back of the cab to talk to us. And then she starts gesturing, no hands on the wheel, while we're driving on these twisty roads. No exaggeration. I had my eyes closed for 25 minutes in the cab ride. I don't want to see if I die. I can't watch. I don't want to see her with her hands off the wheel anymore. I don't want to see her turn her head. And I don't want to see where we're going over the thing. Oh, my gosh. You know, all I can say is call the guy, A, and two, put up some guardrails. We'll be back. No switching. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio this morning. Phone number is 312-981-7200, as well as a text number. Getting some texts from people reacting to some of my my mountain driving experiences here. Wow, some of these people a lot braver than I am. Russ was saying how he wants to wants to drive that. Whoa, wow. Few people. I'm trying to think of the other guy. Trying to find it. Wants to drive a motorcycle. Oh, God. I won't even drive a motorcycle in an alley. I can't imagine driving one on those mountain roads. Oh, my gosh. As I said, if there's truck drivers out there, I give you so much credit because that can't be an easy job. Here's a funny quick story. Just thought of this. So I'm on a plane and I'm flying to Colorado. For somebody who hates mountains, I'm always going to Colorado. God, it's so beautiful there, though. I love it there. It's just getting there. So I'm on the plane and we're going to Colorado Springs. And the guy next to me says that he's a truck driver. And he drives through these. He lives in Colorado Springs and he drives through these mountains. And so I'm telling him these same stories I just told you. And, of course, you know, I'm embellishing a little to, you know, add a little entertainment value. But these were all true. I mean, I was white-knuckling, believe me. There's no lies here. And so, of course, I'm trying to make it sound as scary as possible, how scared I was and how scary it is. And this guy says to me, well, I drive that all the time. And I'm like, wow, I don't know how you do that. I give you so much credit because, my gosh, I'm just petrified to do it. Then later in the flight, now I just told them this whole story. I'm making it sound so scary and so petrified how it was for me to drive in the mountains. And I wasn't lying. I pulled the car over. I'm telling how I pulled the car over and I couldn't breathe and I was shaking and stressed out. Later on, this guy listened to all those stories, right? And kind of laughed and, you know, looked at me. And then later on, he told me how he has been in Iraq 3 times, was in a truck that hit a landmine, and he blew up his leg. They expected his leg to be gone. He woke up 2 days later in a German hospital with his leg attached still. He thought he was going to lose it. He was 8 months in the burn unit, 2 years in rehab. And he showed me his leg and he showed me the shrapnel that was still in his arm from this landmine. And I looked at him and I said, when I was telling you the story about how scared I was to drive up a little mountain, were you looking at me like I was the biggest goofball on earth? Knowing what you had been, I felt like the biggest wimp. I already am, but my gosh. I mean, I'm here telling the story how afraid I was to drive up a little mountain, and this guy got blown up by a landmine in Iraq and almost lost his leg. He even, listen to this, he gets blown off of his truck, his Humvee, him and four other guys, because I guess the whole idea of this is really not, I didn't know this, when you hit a landmine, the goal is really not for the enemy there to kill you in the explosion. Their thing is to blow you out of your vehicle and then get into a firefight with you, and that's how they get rid of you. This guy not only gets blown out of his Humvee with his leg almost off, he takes his belt off, creates a tourniquet to save the leg, and then is in a 25-minute firefight, and nobody was lost. Our guys were not lost, but they were fighting with rifles while his leg was, he was, and I'm sitting there going, about an hour before this, saying how afraid I was for driving on a 2-lane highway on a mountain. I looked at this guy, I said, I am so embarrassed. Thank you for your service, and thank you for not laughing at me. Gosh, I realized what a wimp I was then. Whew. Moral to this story, though. Last week, as you know, my nickname is Elton Jim. I went to see Elton John. 171st concert of me seeing Elton. That's no lie. He was playing in Moline in the Quad Cities. Let me tell you what a joyous ride that was. 3 hours. I took 88 straight out. As flat as can be. The highest incline was actually on 7th Street in Moline. I had to go up an incline when I got to Moline. That's the first time my car went upwards. For 3 glorious hours, I drove in a straight line. There was nothing on the side of me except cornfields. There was nothing to see. And you know what? There shouldn't be, because I'm driving a car. Oh, not even white knuckle. My knuckles were so red with blood flowing through them, I thought they were going to swell off and burst. There was so much blood flowing through my fingers. I was even driving with maybe 2 fingers on the wheel, carefree as a bird. Granted, my destination was not as picturesque as the Rocky Mountains or the Sierra Nevadas or the Pacific Coast Highway, but oh, was the drive such a pleasure. Oh, it's so great to live in an area that is flat as an ironing board. Oh. Fantastic. Stress-free. Free. All I saw was a couple of, you know, corn, some of those, you know, things where they store the corn on the side. And, boy, there was very little, even cities on 88, to get out to the Quad Cities in Moline. But I didn't care how boring or drab the scenery may have been. All I knew is I was going to drive straight line, with no curves, no twists, no shoulders, no cliffs, no need for a guardrail, my friend. Oh, like they say with the police, nothing to see here, folks. And that's the way I'll take it. Oh, thank God for Moline. And thank God Elton didn't play at Red Rocks outside of Denver. Hooey. Jim Toronto here at WGN, 720 AM, filling in for Nick DiGilio this morning. Be here till 5 o'clock. Be also here tomorrow and Friday. So I hope you'll join me. Be fun to be here for two or three days in a row, get a nice little rhythm going. And if you're enjoying what you're hearing today, I hope you'll tune in tomorrow and on Friday as the radio will continue in this time slot with Elton Jim here. Trying to get you through till the morning, starting your day the Elton Jim way, if you will. So, it is unbelievably, I don't know about you, I remember New Year's Eve 2017. And here we are. We're closing in at the end of this year. I mean, this wasn't a fast year per se, but I certainly remember January and February like it wasn't that far away either. I don't know. I don't know what it's been, but I mean, I think, as I said, I've got this ornament at home that starts a countdown to Christmas. It goes backwards, and I think we're at 39 or 40 days. I think today might be 39 days. So, wow, Christmas already with New Year's on the way in 2018. Have you even made any plans for New Year's? I know, I'm jumping ahead. It's not even Thanksgiving. I understand that. Speaking of Thanksgiving, I don't know about you. This is actually my favorite time of the year. Everybody loves summer. Sure, you get out and you do all the activities, but I really love the fall colors. That's what was so pretty. Oh, I should mention about, just as a final note, I was getting some texts. I don't want to make it sound as if you shouldn't go to Lake Tahoe because it's too scary to go there. Someone said, well, it looks like Lake Tahoe's off my list. No. Because, to be honest with you, it was 14 years ago when I first drove that. And when I did hire the car this year, I did notice that there were more guardrails on that drive. And I did notice that they did improve the roads. They looked a little wider. Because even my car, I was telling the guy that was driving the car, and he said, no, this could be a very treacherous ride if you're not used to it. And let's not forget, that's a big ski area. This blew me away. He told me last winter they got 900 inches of snow. 900! We got 30 last winter. 30 inches we got last year. Remember how snow-free last winter was here in Chicago? They got 900. What does that mean? He said that their plows, they're like their plows aren't even plows. They blow the snow out of like a 50-ton snow blower. You think your snow blower is good that you got your Toro 500? I got news for you. I drive to Lake Tahoe. They're blowing snow into the mountains. I can only imagine how the those ruts must be. And you have to drive with either, the chains, which I've never driven in a car with chains, or you have to have at least four-wheel drive. But at least they have improved the roads. So I don't want to scare you away. It's not an easy drive for someone like me, or maybe like you, that is not used to it. But it's certainly not impossible, and it's not as scary as it was. But you just take it slow. But at least there are more guardrails. I'm not saying that there's guardrails the whole way up because I don't want to, Dan?
I was going to go with misappropriate, but I'm not sure that's the right word.
No, misrepresent.
There you go.
I used to use my third grade teacher, misrepresent. She was very pretty. So I don't want to tell you that it's all, it's not a breeze, because it's not a breeze. In fact, my driver was pointing to stuff, and he said, if you notice, because I was telling the story about Laura, the cab driver, who was turning her head and taking her hands off the steering wheel, and he said, no, you can't do that here. He said, in fact, if you notice, when I'm pointing to things, I'm never looking at them. And I've always got one hand on the wheel, but I'm never looking at them. I'll just say, look to your right, look to the left there, but I'll never take my off the road, and I'll never take my hands off the wheel. So, but don't be afraid. I don't want to scare you off because Lake Tahoe is a beautiful place. But I must say, the ride to Moline, I didn't even need to take my blood pressure pills. I put them away. Didn't need them. So as I said, here we are for getting ready for the fall season. I love fall. I love the changing of the colors. Lake Tahoe was gorgeous with the changing of the colors up there, too, in the mountains. And so I don't know about you, but I love pumpkin taste, the pumpkin spice, pumpkin pie, pumpkin ice cream. There's a few places around town now that have a pumpkin milkshake, which they put the crust of the pie in the shake. And there's even, I think, an Edie's ice cream that's called pumpkin pie. And there's like pumpkin beer now. So pumpkin over the last, 10 years or so has become like the big flavor, especially for fall, obviously. But I've been reading now that there is a new, and I've been seeing it on menus, and I've tasted it myself. There is a new spice that is becoming, as I said once before, we start off and, pumpkin was kind of unique. And then, of course, everybody jumped on the bandwagon because we don't do anything in moderation. And then there's pumpkin everything. So now there's, while people are getting overdosed on pumpkin, and now pumpkin has become par for the course, people in the food industry, especially, chefs and cooks trying to find something different and food makers are saying, well, what's the next? How do we change things up? How do we, disrupt, if you will? That's a key word now, disruption. You got to be a disruptor in the marketplace. So I've noticed, and there's been a few stories in the paper, that maple is now the up-and-coming fall flavor. So I thought that we could talk a little bit, and I'd love to get your reactions, both either on the phone or through text. What I'm calling is Spice Wars, pumpkin versus maple. I mean, everybody was talking how big, the Merriweather fight was against that guy. What was the guy that the
McGregor.
McGregor. That was nothing. That was nothing compared to spices. Pumpkin versus maple. And so after the news at 4:30, we will talk about pumpkin versus maple and where you can find it. Oh, yeah, you can go around that dial. And they may be talking about Donald Trump, and they may be talking about sexual harassment. But how many radio stations are you going to listen to and hear about a tantalizing and opinionated and serious debate of pumpkin versus maple? Only here at 720 WGN. No switching. Sugar and spice and all things nice. You know that little girl is mine. That's Chicago's very own Crying Shames with Sugar and Spice. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio today, tomorrow, and Friday from 2 to 5. And so as we are in the midst of autumn, the autumnal part of the year, with Thanksgiving just around the corner, everybody will be getting together for their Thanksgiving celebrations. And you got to love, once again, you got to love the good old United States, a holiday just to eat. It's just about eating. There's some little higher kind of, celebration of the pilgrims and the Native Americans got together. I don't know how, the more stories I hear, I don't know if that was really, that sounds to me like it was one of your average family get-togethers where no one gets together at all. Could you imagine the politics they were talking about at the table the first Thanksgiving? But anyway, so yeah, it's a celebration of just food and getting together. And as I said, over the last several years, pumpkin has become one of the major flavors that has dominated the retail food world. And now, someone on the text pointed it out, and you are correct, and I stand corrected. Maple is not a spice. Someone had a good text, said, which of the Spice Girls was pumpkin? There was Sporty. Don't remember Pumpkin Spice. But yes, no, maple is a flavor, and I guess pumpkin is a flavor, but there is a pumpkin spice as well. So I guess we will call it Flavor Wars as opposed to Spice Wars. I was going for Star Wars. There's an S sound. Sorry. People are a little stickler. As Larry David said a couple of episodes ago on Curb Your Enthusiasm, don't be a stickler. You don't want to put stickler down if you're on a dating site. You don't want to put stickler down. It's not good. But yes, I will change it to flavor wars, if you will. Flavor fights. How's that? A little alliteration there. But anyway, so I don't know about you. I love pumpkin. What about you, Dan? Are you a big pumpkin?
It's funny you mentioned that. I dislike pumpkin with a passion.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Not a fan of the orange gourd.
I am not. I dislike
pumpkin pie.
I dislike just the pumpkin. Anything.
So what about a maple?
Maple, I don't mind.
You don't mind? You're not crazy,
but
like
crazy about it. I don't go out of the way.
But like what maple syrup?
Maple syrup, usually, yeah.
All right. I mean, do you ever have like maple bacon?
I have had maple bacon. That's good, but it's bacon, so
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, it's bacon. So I've had maple flavored Crown Royal, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was okay.
Wow.
I don't know if I like that as much as the bacon.
Right. But, well, who doesn't?
Yeah. But it was funny you bring this up because I went to school at Bradley University down in Peoria, Illinois, and I forget which one of the small towns around it has an annual pumpkin festival.
Oh, well, yeah.
And I went being like, well, they're going to have like a hot dog stand. Now. Right. Like, I'm going to have a hot dog. Everybody else can have pumpkin ice cream. Literally, yeah. There was nothing but pumpkins flavored everything.
Yes.
I was so angry. I was just like, I'm starving.
Yeah, I love pumpkin. And so, but the funny thing is, a few years ago, we went to Toronto, Canada, and a beautiful city, very much like Chicago. A big city, cosmopolitan, lots to do there, but not overwhelming like New York. So if you've never, and it's a quick plane ride, it's like an hour or so. Check out Toronto in Canada, it's a beautiful city. And because it is Canada, and it is the home of, I mean, it's the maple leaf, right? I mean, it's on their flag. You can't get much more maple than Canada. I mean, my gosh, it's the hockey team is the Toronto Maple Leafs. Oh, Canada. There's the maple leaf on the flag. So you can't get much more maple than that. So we go to a Starbucks in the morning. And I've never seen it here. At least I didn't then. This was about 3 or 4 years ago. Maybe they now with this whole maple craze beginning to take over, perhaps it's starting to be a little more distributed throughout the Starbucks around the country. I don't know. I'm not a big coffee drinker, so I don't go to Starbucks. I've never ordered. Are you a big coffee guy?
No, I'm not.
I've never said venti in my life. I don't know venti from grande from. Double Trente. I don't know what that is. I one time I went in there. I heard people ordering. I thought it was a different language. I thought it was Esperanto or something. But I have gone to Starbucks and I've gotten some of their baked goods, if you will. But I'm not a big coffee guy, so I've never really gotten the coffee. But so we went there in the morning, and they had this maple. Like it wasn't a donut. It was like a Bismarck or something. It was so delicious that we went there at least two times a day in the morning. And then like as a little snack in the afternoon, because this was unbelievable. The maple taste was so good. And then there's a place in Canada called Tim Hortons, which is kind of like their Dunkin' Donuts. They're all over them. They're everywhere. And they had a maple donut. And it was good. It wasn't fantastic. It wasn't as good as I thought it would be. But it was still good. And maybe it was just because my palate wasn't used to all this maple that I was just jonesing on this maple stuff. And back to good old Lake Tahoe. We had an amazing bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. They had brown sugar and maple bacon. Oh my God. You were talking about Dan about if it's bacon, who cares? Throw a little brown sugar on your bacon. with a little maple taste. Holy smokes. Wow. Now that was a BLT. So I have to say, I don't know where I fall on this. I don't know about you, 312-981-7200, pumpkin or maple. I must say, I mentioned earlier in the show about Fresh Time. It's one of these, it's a newer kind of grocery store. It's kind of like a Jewel and a Whole Foods. It's like Whole Foods without the attitude or the prices. And they've got, and so they had this bag of granola cereal, which is so funny because, you know, you go to the cereal aisle when you go to the store now. It's amazing how much cereal costs. It's ridiculous. You know, these boxes of cereal, like $3, $4, and you go, what? For cereal? It's just cereal. But then when they put granola in a see-through plastic bag with a Ziploc, for some reason you'll pay $3.39 for it. But when you see Frosted Flakes in a cardboard box, that looks like a ripoff. I'm not sure why. There's got to be some psychology there. But I picked up this maple granola. Oh, whew. Wow. Is that good? Once again, I'm getting no endorsement here, but if you go to a Fresh Time in your neighborhood, check out the maple granola. It's a Fresh Time brand, too. Really good. It's hard to have one bowl of that if you're going to have that with a little milk. So here I am. I'm in love with pumpkin, and I have loved pumpkin. But now I'm getting into this maple thing, and I'm just wondering where are we going? I hope pumpkin doesn't go away because, as I said, there are pumpkin shakes. Now Dunkin' Donuts is getting way into this. They have the pumpkin coffees, and they have their little pumpkin munchkins. They've even got a pumpkin cream cheese for your bagel. Now, that's got to be good. But they're also introducing some maple pecan flavored coffees and a maple sugar bacon breakfast sandwich. Wow. You know, it's about 4:45 right now, and I'm getting hungry. And I don't know if I might make a stop on the way home for the Dunkin' Donuts maple sugar bacon sandwich or the pumpkin cream cheese. I mean, I've always said there's always been some great, combinations. Abbott and Costello, Jekyll and Hyde, but there's nothing like apples and cinnamon. Oh, God, I love apples and cinnamon. But I'll tell you. Pumpkin, I'm torn between now this pumpkin and this thing. In fact, there's this company that I think it's in Indiana. It's called Albanese, and they make malt balls. You know, the chocolate malt balls. And you can go online; they have pumpkin spice malt balls. Oh, unbelievable! As I said, Portillo's. I know, I think some other places, but I've gone to Portillo's the last couple of years, and they've got a pumpkin shake, which is out of this world. So I'm not sure. Oh, now I'm just looking here online. Someone says in the text, Culver's pumpkin pie shake, best ever. Oh, pumpkin pie shake. Another text here says, Dunkey's Bakery on Lincoln Avenue. They've got a limited run of maple-flavored donuts and bacon crumbled. Oh, very I tell you.
That might be Dinkles, by the way.
Oh, Dinkles? Yeah. It says Dunkies,
yeah,
but yeah, okay.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. Starbucks is the best maple scone. I think we had a maple scone up there, too. Yeah, maybe it was a scone, now that I'm thinking about it. So I don't know. I'm torn. All I know is I'm loving the autumnal flavors, pumpkin, and now the new up-and-coming maple. All I say is, why can't we have both? Let's live with both. We're so divided as a country right now, but let's not divide over this. So yes, I was going to look for a great debate, but now on second thought, I say no. There's too much division in this world. Let us both embrace the pumpkin and the maple and enjoy them both for what they bring to our Thanksgiving table. You know what I love about being on the radio is a chance to communicate with the folks out there, and you learn something every day. And you learn something almost every minute, especially in today's texting world. I got a text here. It says, Jim, the pumpkin spice flavor that you are familiar with is not real pumpkin at all. Pumpkin tastes is a squash. So it's taken from the so it's not really that pumpkin taste is not really pumpkin. And then someone mentioned nutmeg, which is also a good little spice to throw in there. But I don't know what the pumpkin spice tastes like or whatever. All I know is I like it. I like a good pumpkin pie, and I'm not big on pumpkin beer. I've tasted that. That's kind of funky, and I've seen pumpkin wine, which is kind of strange. That's I don't know about that. Let's not go too crazy with it. But you can't beat pumpkin bread. Oh, wow. A nice pumpkin bread, like I said, the pumpkin ice cream, a pumpkin shake. I'll have to try the Culver's one. I've had the one at Portillo's. I will try the Culver's one. But as I said, the maple, you can't beat that. Some maple granola, some maple bacon. Dan, what is your regular, I mean, this is your regular shift here. Mm-hmm. So, like, what will you do now in terms of eating?
Despite the fact that it is kind of my dinner time.
This is your dinner time.
Right, right. I mean, like, this would be dinner right. In terms of my day.
Yeah.
I typically do eat breakfast foods.
For my dinner.
Yeah. So, and because of our weird schedules, I eat my breakfast and lunch at the same time. So I'll have a bowl of cereal.
Like, at what time?
At 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
And then I'll have a sandwich as well.
Okay. But like, so like, now will you, like, are you hungry right now?
I am, thanks to you, yeah. I mean, I might have to stop at one of the Jewels that opens up at 6.
Oh my God. But seriously, do this brown sugar bacon thing.
That's
an amazing BLT. So now for you will eat what in the next hour or so?
I will probably grab a snack when I get home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
this is a crazy. Crazy time. No, because I ate at 5.
Mm.
And then I took a nap because this is not my normal schedule.
Right,
so
right.
I'm kind of still on a normal. So I ate at 5 and then I took a nap. Then I got up and then I came here. So it's been like 12 hours. Now I'm hungry.
Sure.
But now I don't want to really. I wouldn't eat at 5.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what to do right
now. Yeah, it is a tough call. And it's like, well, you know, unfortunately.
Because then I'm coming back now. Because now I'm going to be doing this for tomorrow.
Right.
And Friday. So I need to sort of get on your schedule.
Yeah.
But I can't.
Right, right.
Because by the time I do, I'm going to be off of it again.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah, I'm trying to figure out when I should eat.
Right.
And when I shouldn't.
It's a little better because, you know, it'll be 5 a.m. So a Starbucks will be open and you can have, you know, somewhat healthy because a lot of the time at this hour, it's just fast food greasy stuff that.
So just to wrap this up then. So on the question of the pumpkin versus maple, you would probably go on the maple side just because you don't like pumpkin.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't do you carve a pumpkin? Do you watch do you watch Charlie Brown's The Great Pumpkin? Are you completely anti pumpkin?
I enjoy pumpkin in all its forms except the edible one.
Okay, very good. Although I've never, you know, when you carve the pumpkin,
mm-hmm.
the guts.
Oh yeah.
What the heck is that?
That is a
slimy
unique texture. Yeah.
Yeah, that is the weirdest. And I've never. Do you do pumpkin seeds?
No.
Yeah, people sometimes that what do they. They do something to them, right? Don't
right.
they fry them? Or
they fry them and they
something
them
like that.
Them,
yeah, yeah. I've never done that either. But whatever this texter says, okay, really not. It's not the taste of pumpkin. Whatever they're making that pumpkin spice, I'm digging it. So I'm liking maple, but I got to stay. I mean, as I said, I'm loyal to my first mistress, my pumpkin mistress, even though maple. Is very tempting. She's a temptress, but I'm staying with my maple, or with my pumpkin.